Thank you for joining us for today's public information briefing. I'm Frederick County Executive Jan Gardner. I do apologize for starting late. We had some technical difficulties, but we're here now. So today, I want to provide an update and some information on the status of COVID-19 in Frederick County, and I want to issue a call for action. Like most of our nation, we're currently in the middle of a dangerous surge of the Delta variant. Last week, there were 431 new cases of COVID in our community. So you can see from the graph on your screen that the only time we have seen more new cases in a week was during the winter peak in December through January and February. So don't be deceived again by the shortest line on your right, which is the current week, because it's only a partial week, and we're going to add more data to that as we proceed through the week. Now, Frederick County and many counties in Maryland are experiencing high rates of community transmission as tracked by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC. So we are in the red zone, the highest risk category, and you can see that much of the state of Maryland is in the red zone, with some doing a little bit better, being in an orange zone. Nearly all of the cases reported in Frederick County are from the Delta variant. We are now clearly in a fifth wave of the virus. And again, this is the second highest wave of cases during the entire pandemic, and only being lower than the peak we had during the winter. So my message and my call to action today is threefold. First, get vaccinated. If you are not vaccinated, get vaccinated. Second, follow the CDC guidelines for high transmission communities and wear a mask in indoor public places. Third, do your part. Do your part to protect our children, our vulnerable populations, including immunocompromised people and the elderly, and to help our schools and our economy stay open. It's really important for everyone to do their part, and that means getting vaccinated and following the CDC guidelines. So I want to start off by reviewing the statistics. As of today, we have 21,276 total cases of COVID-19 in Frederick County, an increase of 63 new cases in the past 24 hours. Our positivity rate stands at 6.33%, higher than the statewide average of 4.89%. And in fact, all of our metrics are actually worse than state averages, which is also not good. The county's seven-day average of new cases is 22.84 cases for every 100,000 people. And the last time we had a case rate this high was actually in early February. Again, we're in the midst of the second highest wave of new cases, and transmission rates in Frederick County remain high. And the bad news continues. There are currently outbreaks in 8 of our nursing homes and in 7 of our public schools. Now, to be considered an outbreak, nursing homes may have as few as one current case among either staff or residents. In schools, an outbreak means there are at least 2 confirmed cases within 14 days among people from separate households. Details about outbreaks can be found on the state's website, coronavirus.maryland.gov, or you can go to the Frederick County Public School dashboard, which is fcps.org/dashboard, and they do report this information. What concerns me most about our current situation in Frederick County is the sudden and dramatic increase in the number of COVID patients at Frederick Health Hospital over the past few weeks. And you can see that our hospitalizations now are up almost as high, approaching as high as that first surge we had in the spring of 2020. And again, this is very concerning. In the past month, from July 25th, to August 25th, we have seen an alarming 1,400% increase in the number of hospitalized COVID patients, or 15 times as many people being hospitalized now than 1 month ago. Now, it's that high in part because we had few people hospitalized a month ago. So there are currently 31 people with COVID who are patients in the hospital, including 7 in the ICU. Now, most of these patients are unvaccinated. I want to stress this. Unvaccinated people are filling up our hospital and the ICU. And I have to say, our healthcare staff are overwhelmed, overworked, a bit weary, and some of them, quite honestly, are angry and frustrated. They are tired of trying to convince people to get vaccinated. Okay, I have two pages in here. They are tired of trying to convince people to get vaccinated. They know vaccines could have prevented most of the severe illness in the people they're now working hard to take care of. Frederick Health Hospital has admitted COVID patients of all ages this summer, from those in their 90s all the way down to young children who are not yet eligible to be vaccinated. We need more adults to get vaccinated to protect these young children. Adults have historically done what was needed to try to protect the children in their households and in their community. We especially need people in their 20s and 30s to step up, and I can't stress this enough. Now, if you look at this chart was provided, go back. This chart was provided by Frederick Health Hospital for patients who were hospitalized in July through August, our current time. The fastest growing age group of hospitalized COVID patients here locally at Frederick Health Hospital is people in their 20s. Those in their 30s make up the largest group overall. So we need everyone, especially our young adults, to get vaccinated. So you will see that 2/3 of these folks are people in the hospital are under the age of 60, and a full third are under the age of, or in their 30s or younger. Okay, the next chart on your screen breaks down Frederick County's vaccination status by age group. Now, children from birth to age 9 are on the left, seniors 85 and older are on the right. The orange bar shows the percentage of unvaccinated people, and the green bar shows the percentage of people who are fully vaccinated. Now, clearly, when you look to the left and see the big orange bar in 0 to 9, it's because none of those children are eligible to be vaccinated. But you can see that 45% of people in their 20s and 30% of people in their 30s are not fully vaccinated. This certainly correlates to what you saw in the earlier chart, the fact that there are more people in their 20s and 30s who are being hospitalized. So we need to do better. We need to do better in all age groups, but we need to do better in that age group. So now let's go to the chart from Virginia. The state of Virginia actually publishes a chart that I just want to show. It's obviously not Maryland, but they show a chart of the rate of infection, the rate of hospitalization, and the rate of death for people who are fully vaccinated, partially vaccinated, and unvaccinated. And the statistics are this. Unvaccinated people contract COVID at a rate 12.5 times higher than those who are fully vaccinated, again, in Virginia. Unvaccinated people are 11.4 times at a higher risk for being hospitalized and 17.6 times higher for a rate of death. So it clearly shows the effectiveness of being vaccinated. So you can go on to the next one. If you aren't worried about your own health, you should be worried about taking care of the children in our community. Again, we need to protect our children. And the Delta variant has proven that some children can and do get COVID. And again, it's up to us as adults to protect the young and to protect those who are medically fragile and vulnerable of the devastating side effects of this virus. Now, sadly, in the last week, we have had two more county residents that have died from COVID. We've now lost 340 members of our community to the virus. And of course, these are people who are part of our community. They have families, friends, and they're our neighbors. Now, 95% of all the Marylanders who have died since the vaccines became available have been unvaccinated. So I want to repeat that. 95% of all Marylanders who have died since vaccines became available have been among those who are unvaccinated. So let's be clear. The facts support it. The surge we're in right now is the result of people in our community who are not vaccinated. So 25% of our adult population is unvaccinated. That's over 50,000 people. So these 25% of the population is not only putting themselves at risk for serious illness and death, they are potentially spreading this virus, and they are the people who we're seeing in our hospital and in our ICU. Now, certainly, there are some vaccinated people who can still get COVID, breakthrough cases, and But it is a very small percentage of the total, and they are less likely to become seriously ill and require hospitalization. An overwhelming percentage of hospitalized COVID patients are unvaccinated. And the statistic right now here at Frederick Health Hospital in our community is that over 80% of the people that are hospitalized are unvaccinated. And again, this is true in our community, it's in our state, it's in the country. Most of the people, a supermajority of people that are hospitalized are unvaccinated. Yes, a small percentage of vaccinated people who have been diagnosed with breakthrough cases, but again, it's a tiny fraction of the total number of people who have been fully vaccinated. There are over 3.3 million fully vaccinated people in Maryland, about 9,000, less than 1%, 0.27%, so that's less than one quarter, about one quarter of 1%, have tested positive. And of those, 700 have been hospitalized. That's 700 out of 3.3 million people. So all the facts and all the statistics demonstrate that vaccines are incredibly effective at preventing hospitalization and death from COVID. Now, in Frederick County, we do have some good news. Our vaccination rate is among one of the highest in the state of Maryland. More than 80% of eligible people, those age 12 and older, have received at least one dose of vaccine, and 75% of all adults in Frederick County, people over 18, are fully vaccinated. So when you look at the most vulnerable age group, those 65 and older, that number looks even better. Over 95% of people 65 and older have received at least one shot, and 94% are fully vaccinated. That's really an impressive number. And I really want to say the older generation has gone out and gotten vaccinated. They have followed the facts. They have not allowed politics or commentary or other people to influence them. They did the right thing. They got vaccinated. They took a step to protect their health and the health of those around them. So I want to thank everyone in our community who has been vaccinated. Not only are you protecting your own health and the health of your family, you're helping to protect our entire community. You're protecting our children under the age of 12 who can't be vaccinated yet. And again, the vaccines are the best tool in our toolbox for winning the battle against COVID. Again, there are still 50,000 people or more, maybe somewhere between 50,000 and 60,000 adults, 25% of the adults in our population, who have not been vaccinated. Now, you hear a number of reasons. Some have expressed concern with a risk of side effects from the vaccine. If you share this concern, I'd encourage you to talk to your primary care physician. Your doctor can share the risks of vaccine side effects with the risks of catching COVID. About 200 million people in our country have been vaccinated, and there have been some side effects, but they are, again, among the minority of people. Some have said, well, I know somebody who's fully vaccinated who got COVID anyway. And again, while there is truth that there are some people with breakthrough cases, it is a small fraction of all the people that are getting COVID. And the statistics just overwhelmingly show that people who are vaccinated are not getting severely ill, requiring hospitalization, or quite frankly, they're protected from death. Now, some unvaccinated people have said they are waiting for full approval of the vaccine by the Food and Drug Administration. Well, the people with that concern don't have to wait any longer. On Monday, the FDA gave formal approval to the vaccine produced by Pfizer for people aged 16 and older. And the vaccine is now being marketed under the brand name Comirnaty, which is new, but we can still call it the Pfizer vaccine. You can request the Pfizer vaccine at the Frederick County Health Department's vaccination clinics, and we also have supplies of the other vaccines. We have Pfizer, we have Moderna, and we have Johnson & Johnson. Moderna and J&J are available for people 18 and older, and Pfizer is approved for people as young as 12. Now, the county's vaccination clinic on Oak Street off US 15 accepts people by appointment and walk-ins on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 7. On Fridays from 10 to 1, and on Saturdays from 10 to 2. You can schedule an appointment online. You can call the COVID appointment line anytime on Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and that phone number is 301-600-7900 or 7905 for Spanish. There are also community clinics taking place every week where people can get vaccinated. Today, for instance, the health staff's at the rescue mission until 2:30, and they will be in Brunswick at Railroad Square from 5 to 7 this evening. On Friday, they'll be at the Seton Center in Emmitsburg and on Main Street in Thurmont. And there will also be staff at the fairgrounds this week for Trio Fest and next week at the Fredericktown Mall and at Frederick Community College. Vaccines are also widely available at doctor's offices and pharmacies. If you have not been vaccinated, now is the time. Vaccines work, they're safe, they're widely available. You can find dates and times for the health department clinics at health.frederickcountymd.gov. And certainly, you can really just go so many places to get a vaccine right now. They're just widely available. And you can get one without cost. Now, there are businesses and universities and other organizations who are now requiring vaccination for their employees or the option of weekly testing. And with the approval of the Pfizer vaccine, I think we will see more of that trend. We also know that there's a conversation about boosters. We know that people with severely compromised immune systems may need a third dose of vaccine in order to reach the same level of effectiveness that most of us achieve after two doses. If your doctor believes you fall into this group, you can schedule your third dose today. The third dose should be the same as your first two doses. So if you had a dose of Moderna, you should get a third dose of Moderna. If you had two doses of Pfizer, you should get a third dose of Pfizer. And you can receive your third dose of Pfizer or Moderna from your physician, your pharmacy, or again, the Frederick County Health Department clinics. The health department won't ask you to provide a doctor's note. All you need is your original vaccination card. Immunity from vaccines may not last forever. There's concern that it may be waning. This is not any different than a number of other vaccines that are out there. Our children receive boosters for measles, mumps, and rubella. Adults get boosters for tetanus shots every 10 years. We get flu shots every year. And the CDC is now recommending a booster of Pfizer and Moderna vaccine beginning 8 months after your second shot. So that means if your second shot was March 1st, you were fully vaccinated 2 weeks later, so you'd be eligible for a booster in and around November 15th. Again, the boosters are recommended for people who receive Moderna or Pfizer vaccine. We're starting to see reports that suggest that an additional dose of Johnson & Johnson may also be effective, but more data is needed, so we'll wait a little bit longer to hear about that. We are very fortunate in the United States to have wide access to vaccines. Without the vaccine, we would likely be seeing an even higher rate of hospitalization from COVID because of the Delta variant. Vaccines are the fastest way to restore our freedoms and the fastest way for us to be free of masks and other restrictions. I believe it is our patriotic duty and our obligation to get vaccinated to protect ourselves, our community, our children, and our nation. So again, my first call of action is first and foremost to go out and get vaccinated. Now, we also need to do everything we can to slow the spread of COVID in our community and the risk to our healthcare system. Our hospitalizations are coming very close to, again, what we had in that first surge of cases. So we need to abide by some of the restrictions that places of employment have put in place. Certainly, we see a number of places that are requiring masks indoors. Some have hand sanitizer out. In fact, many do. And to try to do our best to limit contact. At Frederick County Government, we are leading by example. Because we've seen the recent increase in cases, Frederick County office buildings will remain closed to the public, except by appointment, until at least October 1st. And masks continue to be required inside all of our buildings, in all of our public spaces, and in shared office spaces. Again, this follows the CDC recommendations that everyone, including people who are vaccinated, wear masks indoors in areas, public areas, when there is high transmission rates in the community. So my second call to action is to urge everyone to please follow the CDC recommendations, wear a mask indoor at public places until the rate of transmission drops to a moderate level. Right now, we're at a high level. Below that is substantial, and then below that is moderate. So we have a ways to go to get back to where we were with moderate levels of transmission. So again, this is a CDC recommendation, and I'm really encouraging people to follow us. Now, none of us expected to be dealing with COVID on this scale for so long. But you know, we still can't let our guard down. We still have to continue the fight. I really want to encourage everyone to follow the CDC guidelines to help reduce the current rate of transmission. And again, with our current rate of transmission, the CDC recommends that masks be worn at all indoor public places. Carefully consider whether you should be at gatherings or in large groups inside. Outside events are still considered safer than inside ones. If you're unvaccinated, you are at a much higher risk for COVID-19. And so again, I would encourage you to get vaccinated. Now, a few of our municipalities, similar to the Frederick County government, such as the City of Frederick and Brunswick, have mask requirements in place in their municipal buildings as well. And again, I note a number of businesses also are requiring it. So please honor those requests. Now, I have been asked, and I've received quite a few emails in the last week, about why I have not put a mask mandate in place countywide, as we had much of the time during the pandemic. So when the governor lifted many of the restrictions a few months ago, he also lifted the authority of local county executives to be more restrictive than the state. So the bottom line is, as county executive, I do not have the individual authority to impose a countywide mask mandate. Our charter doesn't grant that either. That authority rests with the County Board of Health, which is comprised of the County Council, myself, and our County Public Health Officer, Dr. Barbara Brookmeyer, who serves as the Executive Director and Secretary of our Board of Health. For a meeting of the Board of Health to be held, it has to be advertised for at least 2 weeks. So a meeting of the Board of Health is scheduled for Tuesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. You'll be able to watch that meeting on Frederick County Government Television and on streaming. So in response to requests for indoor mask mandates, some of which have actually come from businesses, some have even come from faith communities, from churches, I want to make clear that businesses and organizations themselves can implement their own mask mandate. They do not need government to do that. And certainly, if everybody wants to see COVID transmission be reduced in our community, everybody can do their part to help out in that. So I do want residents to continue to stay informed about what's happening with COVID and to get their information from official and trustworthy sources. If you want to know more about the status of COVID in Frederick County, you can check out our dashboard, which we update each weekday from usually shortly after 10 a.m. There's information there on our vaccination efforts, new cases, hospitalizations, positivity rates, and cases per 100,000, among other things. And you can find that dashboard at frederickcountymd.gov/covidstats. Our community is resilient. I know people are weary, but we have a longstanding reputation for working together for the greater good. So again, my call to action is pretty simple. One, if you're not yet vaccinated, get vaccinated. Two, follow the CDC guidelines and wear a mask indoors in public places until our transmission rates are lowered and go back down to a moderate level. This is a recommendation that we should follow to reduce the transmission and to try to make sure fewer people in our community become ill. And three, do your part. I do think this is our civic duty to protect our children, to respect our healthcare workers who are taking care of people and have been for 16 months, to make sure our schools can operate, that our businesses can stay open, and that we can get back to as normal a life as possible. COVID-19 has affected our daily lives for far too long. I encourage everyone to continue to keep up their appropriate behaviors, to get vaccinated, to wear your mask for, again, a little bit longer, so we can defeat this virus once and for all. So thank you for joining us for today's public information briefing. And again, stay safe, get vaccinated, do your part. Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for more.